this is F1 Debrief. We're just going to roll with it. Coming up this week, we discuss tweaking circuits, safer cockpits, door handles, donkeys, and of course, Sebastian Vettel.
The night before Abu Dhabi. Went all through the paddock. Not a single engine was stirring for Petrov, Buemi or Glock. The podium vacuumed and cleaned with attention and care, awaiting for our world champion to be crowned right there. The drivers were nestled all snug in their beds, whilst Frank Williams continued discussions with his friend Patrick Head. Bernie with his handkerchief, Sean in his cap, both settling down for a long winter's nap. Tomorrow will we rise to a smash and some clatter, or will our title be decided with no odd matter? Our heroes will soon be away, off in a flash, tearing down straights and avoiding a crash. A sun beaming down upon a grid waiting to go, setting the scene for our battle below. In front of our eyes, a winner shall appear. 19 long races, yet our finale is here. Will it be Fernando, so lively and quick, or will Sebastian show what he's driven so slick? More rapid than Eagles, it could be Mark's time, unless Lewis shocks all while he's still in his prime. Engineers and strategists, team principals and more, creating tension up and down the crowded pit wall. To the top of the standings, to be the best. Now dash away, dash away. Beat the rest. And when dry leaves have fell and the cars do fly, they'll meet their finish in a dark night sky. 55 laps round Rias Marina they flew, Sauber's, Reynolds and HRT's too. But soon our battle will be settled and fought. Mistakes will be crucial for lessons to be taught. Through trials and tribulations they will stand as one, just like Brazil and the tail of Button. They'll spring to their cars, to their team give a sign that this is their moment, this is their time. And when the lights go out, when the race is run, so goes the sport known as Formula One. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now is your moment. Now is your time.
Good week, bad week.
It's been a good week for Lewis Hamilton, who has joined Twitter, as confirmed by the fifth driver. The bad thing is his username is I am Lewis for real, and that's the number 4. And he says things like, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to hit me up and for believing. He does have 42,500 followers, though, which is not bad going for a week.
That is a good week's work.
It is.
I would say, though, the account does smack of PR.
Really? I mean, he uses the number 4 and the letter U.
I get the impression he's trying just a bit too hard. Do you not get that? It's just a bit too street.
It's been a bad week for Alonso, who went on the Ferrari World roller coaster with Massa, and he allowed video to be taken. It is not a good look. His face almost came off.
Oh, wow. Why would you agree to do that? The only good thing to come from that Ferrari roller coaster video is the fact that both drivers finished at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
It's a dead heat. No team orders on that roller coaster.
It's been a good week for Karun Chandhok because although he still hasn't seen the Senna movie yet, he did get t-shirts printed for the media saying, I saw the Senna movie before Karun, which is quite amusing.
I love that guy's sense of humour. I love the effort he goes to. It's a shame though, you'd have thought he would have seen it by now. Especially with, you know, the
His
director.
His mum promised.
And the director. Take your time, Karun.
It's been a bad week for Bernie, as all the drivers were meant to turn up for an official photo shoot, a sort of end of season thing. Schumacher, Senna and Glock, they weren't there.
They weren't in the class of 2010.
No, Glock got lost, Schumacher sulked, and we're
Sounds
not
familiar.
Sure where Senna was, maybe with the stewards. Bernie was not happy.
Was it because he wasn't making money at that particular point?
I guess so. Time is money.
News and views.
We're going to talk about 5 Live for a minute, and we're starting with Holly News.
You don't have a jingle for that.
And I'm glad that I didn't make one.
Okay, because?
She is leaving.
Yes.
It's very sad.
Oh, gutted. I'd almost forgotten then, and it just, oh, you've got it all back now.
I do apologise. There were rumours a while ago that someone was going to be leaving the 5 Live team, but we didn't know who it was, and we all speculated.
As we like to.
You did say it might be Holly.
As predicted by Mr. C.
Yep.
In your face, Andrew Benson. Although he probably knew before me, working as he does for the BBC.
Yeah. And the news is she's leaving 5 Live after 5 years, which is a respectable time to be in the paddock.
It's only 1 year more than you've been doing Formula One for.
Yeah, but I don't parade up and down the paddock. Sounds like a much harder job.
True, a lot of travel.
The rumour is, well, no, it's not even a rumour, is it? They said that she's leaving to set up a donkey sanctuary. Which,
do we believe that?
It sounds all kinds of unreal.
I'd like her to be doing that.
Really?
It seems unlikely. There are donkey sanctuaries in the UK.
Yeah.
Maybe there are donkeys that need Miss Samos's
Maybe she likes donkeys.
Attention.
She's never mentioned it in her 5 years on,
you know what?
On the radio.
She really hasn't.
No. But she's not the only shake-up that could be happening on the radio. Because did you notice during free practice on Friday, there was a stranger in the Five Live commentary box?
My cynical senses are a-tingling.
Were they?
Yes, because David Croft alongside Martin Brundle in the commentary box on the last race of the season.
Yeah.
And that seems mildly convenient.
The story they gave was not believable.
Yeah, go on.
Martin Brundle was going to his BBC TV commentary box and the door handle was stuck.
In Abu Dhabi? I would have believed that in Brazil.
Yeah.
I do not believe that given the attention
Someone
to detail.
Someone stole the key.
That, well, yeah. Or, you know, in Brazil, I'd imagine the commentary box fell down.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that.
Someone stole the box.
Anywhere but the brand new Abu Dhabi. I just don't buy that.
I think they said that he was supposed to be writing his BBC column or something. And so he was looking for a quiet place to do that. And he chose Five Lives commentary box in the middle of a free practice session.
Well, it is next door.
Yeah. But not only that, there were already three people in there.
There was Crofty, there was Anthony Davidson, and there was Karun Chandhok all covering that session. They weren't short of commentators at all.
No. And there he was, there he appeared, and he stayed with them for ages.
Suspiciously, even though there were three commentators and Jason Swales in the box all wearing headphones, a spare pair were found for Martin and a spare microphone.
Yeah.
And
he had the time to sit around.
He had nothing to do.
So we have, is it true that Martin Brundle picks his own commentators or is that just speculation on our part?
That is, well, there are rumours that Martin is choosy about the kind of people he works with. And we know that David Croft would be fine with anybody. He's easygoing, not a problem.
He's lovely.
But Martin tends to be a bit more, what's the word for it?
He is a bit prickly.
That's a good word, yes. And perhaps there may have been a decision made that Martin should see how he gets on with David Croft in the commentary box, should a decision need to be made about 2011 in the near future.
Yeah.
All speculation, of course.
And if that is what was happening, there were some good moments where they seemed to get on very well.
I think it sounded great, actually.
But there were also a couple of worrying moments. I think when Brundle first appeared, they were talking about, I can't remember what they were talking about, but he said, oh, I don't want to walk in the middle of an in-joke.
They were talking about the T-shirt, Karun's Senna movie thing.
Right, that we mentioned earlier. So in-joke's not allowed with Brundle.
Not on Brundle's watch.
So it could all change next year, or it might all stay the same.
It's very difficult
to tell. I'm insightful like that.
We have no inside information, but I wouldn't be massively surprised if the radio operation merged with the television operation and you just had one set of commentators. Because at the moment, it doesn't make an awful lot of sense for BBC TV to compete with BBC Radio.
Yeah,
I mean, the benefit to us is you've got Ledyard on TV and you don't want to hear him in the race, so you turn over. But if you had a decent commentary pairing, you'd only need one set of commentators.
Yeah, well, when you start thinking, will they replace Holly or could they just use more of Ted? And then you think, well, maybe they don't need that Holly role anyway.
If you could use Ted on the radio, well, if you could use Ted on the radio, then maybe you could use David on the radio, who's already doing the TV feed, that kind of thing. So it's very difficult to say, but, you know, keep an eye out, watch this space.
We're excited to see the changes, if there are any. In team news, Virgin Racing have sold a major stake to Marussia Motors.
Marussia?
Yeah. Didn't you call it Marissa earlier this week?
Did you not correct? Could you not have corrected me?
That's funny.
I thought
Marussia Motors.
It's not Marussia Motors.
It's a U. Marussia.
You live and learn.
And you know why? Because they're Russian.
It's so clever. The penny has dropped.
They make sports cars, apparently, although I've never heard of them. It's a multi-year deal, and I guess it just means more money for Virgin Racing.
This is good news.
Is it?
Well, I was worried about Virgin Racing because Lotus have got a tie-up for next year with Renault and Red Bull, and you've got HRT have got a tie-up with Williams, and Virgin have been sort of left out on the sidelines.
Well, John Booth said, it is massive. We had security anyway, but it allows us to be a bit more ambitious in our planning. On the technical side, there are lots of exciting things happening. It won't happen immediately, but it will happen as the year goes on. So he thinks that, you know, they were secure anyway, but this is just going to be a bit of a boost.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, they have a budget to work to, and they've worked well within that budget, and next year they're going to do the same. Now, that won't move them up the grid, whereas more income, if that's what this deal is about, will or should enable them to do that.
Do you think it's going to be a bit Spyker-esque in that Marussia Motors will come in and then they'll take over the team completely? And
Depends what the deal is. I don't know too much about it. There's obviously speculation with a Russian interest in Formula One that Petrov is the ideal candidate.
So yes, therefore, well, they did also say they're in no rush to confirm their second driver, which probably means we won't see a return for Delicious.
And also, I guess he's taking his sponsor, the poker company, with him.
Mm.
So Marussia will replace that.
The other tie-up that was announced this week is that the Williams technology place in Qatar has joined up with Sainsbury's, the supermarket.
Love this story.
They're going to have F1 inspired technology in their lorries and such like.
I want that job.
The press release said it's to help the supermarket group increase its energy efficiency and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The partnership will also see advanced vehicle simulator technology used to support the training and development of Sainsbury's drivers to enhance both energy efficiency and safety.
What a load of PR guff.
That's rubbish. But basically, I want to be a Sainsbury's driver now if I get to have a go in an F1 simulator.
So you get the Kurs flywheel is the main crux of this deal. They're going to put the Williams hybrid technology device into their delivery vehicles, and that will increase their efficiency and reduce costs. And that's fantastic for Williams because they've been developing this system. It's never been raced in Formula One, which is a shame, but it's good to see that they found some uses outside.
Yeah, it was a big old press release and basically just meant, yeah, we're actually going to use our Kurs at last.
Yes, that's good. They've been using it on a Porsche something or other somewhere that keeps doing well in endurance racing. However, I think this is the first major commercial deal for them, and also they've tried to do a bit more to integrate it into the Formula One team by suggesting that the drivers will use the simulator or simulator technologies. Now, I don't really understand why a supermarket would want their drivers to use a simulator, but yeah, you know, it sounds like a great, you know, that
lorries aren't allowed over a certain speed anyway.
That sounds like a great job to have. I'm interested in becoming a Sainsbury's lorry driver now.
Did you ever think you'd say that?
Never.
From Twigger, or Twigger, it's a Twitter name, and he's here at the circuit. He's in the south stand, isn't he? Because he tweeted us this morning. He says, Crofty, there is a petrol station next to the drag strip. I'll pass it on to the English crew that were working for Fuji TV then. And from Grand Prix.
Hello, Nick. Nick was in the stands. Did you hear about the story of Fuji TV?
No.
They were driving from Dubai to Abu Dhabi and they ran out of petrol.
Oh, no.
Whoops.
Yeah, that's bad planning.
Nick was very helpful there, though, telling them where the petrol station was.
He knows the area well.
After they needed it.
He knows the area well. Bit tardy.
Yeah. Hats off to Nick, though. He did he provided a bunch of photographs for us from Friday. He had a look around the he got up and close and personal with the garages and the cars. And
I think it was Thursday.
Sorry, Thursday. Get my facts right. Yeah. Maybe, are we still waiting for the Friday post from Nick?
Well, because we did put part one and there doesn't seem to have been a part two.
It was an optimistic part one,
yeah,
on Nick's part. But thank you for those pictures. It sounded like he had a great time at the circuit. He went last year as well, didn't he?
He did.
So it's good that he's gone back again. Loved every minute. Wasn't the greatest race in the world, though. Wasn't the greatest spectacle to attend, was it?
No. I think last year, Nick tried to convince us all that Abu Dhabi was the best place in the world and it was the greatest race. And we said, no, it really wasn't. This year, he said, the race wasn't so good. So I think maybe he's come to a bit of a realisation there.
It was hard to justify that race to anybody, wasn't it?
I mean, the good news and the big news, I suppose, is that we have a champion.
Yay! Well done, Vettel.
Yes.
And well done, Red Bull.
It happened.
They got the championship they wanted for the driver they wanted to get it. Yay!
Yeah, yay. It happened quite near the beginning of the race, though, because Alonso lost some places, then Ferrari made a bad strategy call, then they got stuck behind Renault's for the rest of the race, and Vettel was allowed to romp away at the front, and that was it. It was done.
It was dull, but we have voicemails on this, so yes, Let's hear the voicemails first.
Hi guys, it's James here. I wanted to leave you a voicemail on today's race. It was, to be honest, the Aston Martin circuit is, well, quite frankly, rubbish. The race produced no overtaking. I think the comment was made in the forum if it had been Interlagos. You know, like Alonso wouldn't be stuck behind Petrov and Hamilton wouldn't be stuck behind Kubica. It also worth note, like, Massa was stuck behind Alguersuari for most of the race. The circuit was just rubbish. There's no overtaking anyway. There might have been a couple overtakes at the back, but other than that, there was nothing. It was pathetic, really. The other thoughts on the outcome of the race. I am sort of a bit sad that Alonso wasn't champion and stuff. That would have been the sort of thing I liked to have seen. But at the end of the day, Vettel was champion. I suppose it had to happen eventually, so good it's happened now, and he hopefully will never win again. I say that, he probably will. But it'll be interesting going into next year. There's 5 world champions now, including Michael Schumacher, depending on whether he stays or not. And it's just interesting to see the dynamic. I mean, in the top teams, there'll be just Webber, Massa and Rosberg now, who haven't won a world title. So it'll be really interesting to see. Thanks, guys. I just want to say thank you to both of you for doing everything you do your Cyclocast this year. It's been brilliant, even with the downshifting in the middle of it. Thank you for the good work. Cheers. Bye.
I like that we're thinking about 2011 already.
Yeah.
That really sums up the weekend. It's done, it's dusted. It was not a spectacular.
Here's the thing I don't really understand. Abu Dhabi had a rubbish race last year.
Mm.
Okay, maybe that was one off. Maybe it was because the championship was already decided. We don't know. And then this year they've had another rubbish race. So surely they're going to have to make changes now, because all weekend they've been talking to Richard Cregan, who used to work for Toyota,
mm-hmm.
and they've been saying to him, now that you're managing the Yas Marina circuit and you have all this experience of being in a team, isn't it great? You can bring that all to your new job. But clearly he isn't, if he thinks that that is an acceptable track. I mean, would it be so hard just to make a change to a corner to try and help something? If Silverstone can make changes and there is no funding at that circuit, Abu Dhabi must be able to change one or two corners.
Well, it's a very limited space because it's surrounded by water.
There's all that runoff.
Well, that's true, but I think that's necessary given the length of the god-awful straight that just goes on and on and on and on and
change
on.
It!
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. They've built a lemon of a track. The surrounding area is gorgeous. Love the architecture. Love what they've done with Yas Island. The circuit itself is beyond repair.
Well, I don't understand, because we spend all the time saying, oh, we shouldn't go to these places if they have rubbish tracks. But if the track is there and they've built it, why can't they just tweak it a bit and try and make it better?
That's true.
Is there any harm in holding a hand up and saying, you know what, this isn't working, let's make it better? I would respect them a lot more for that.
Mm. I mean, the real question is, why does it get to be the season finale? I guess because of money. And it's no place to hold a season finale.
Well, it's not going to be next year.
What's it next year? What's the last race of the season?
Brazil.
Okay, well, that's good. But is it near the end of the season?
It's 20 races in.
It's just because, again, that could be the championship finale. It should be near the beginning of the season, near Bahrain, but not at the beginning, because that's the worst way to start a season. It really shouldn't
Imagine
be on the calendar.
Imagine if the season started Bahrain and then Abu Dhabi. Who would watch?
That's true. There's nowhere good to put it, is it? It's just no saving it. They've built a lemon and they can't back out of it because it's cost too much money and it's just not going to happen. We're just stuck with a really dull race circuit, and we witnessed a really dull race. A proper snoozer. That's what we had today.
Let us not dwell on the rubbishness of the race, though. Vettel is the youngest champion ever. He's stolen that from Alonso.
Well, that's an achievement. Commendable.
He was crying on the podium.
Yeah, that was very sweet. However, I do get the impression that the least rubbish person in a fast car won this season.
That is a backhanded compliment if ever I heard one.
Well, no.
The least useless man.
None. Well, I mean, the most useless man was Massa in a fast car.
Yeah.
He was absolutely hopeless.
He was out of the championship ages ago.
But none of the front runners in their super fast cars really dominated and did anything super special to say, you really deserved that championship. Rather Vettel than Alonso. I'd rather have had Webber than Vettel. But the way it was, anyone in the midfield would have been more worthy of that. Kobayashi had a brilliant year. Kovalainen had a brilliant year. Kubica had a brilliant year. None of them in front-running cars.
Well, I was going to say, I really like Kubica and how well he does. And I just think he is so rubbish at qualifying. If he could try a bit harder on a Saturday, he would
qualified by his teammates.
Start further up, and then he could start winning races.
He's just not in the car to do it.
Qualifying is rubbish.
He agreed. He's not great at qualifying.
No.
Vettel made an okay job of it, I guess. And he was one of many drivers who made an awful lot of mistakes. And this season really has been punctuated by senseless errors by top drivers. And I don't know why. Maybe it's the circuits. Maybe it's the cars they're driving these days. But I don't recall a season of so many monumental screw-ups by so many people. You remember last year when Button was serene? Okay, he bottled it towards the end of the season. But really, he didn't make any major disasters. He had no major disasters on track. He won the championship by being a really good driver in a really good car. And this year, nobody's done that. You can find flaws in everybody.
And we could spend all day doing that.
Well,
I think.
Yeah, we can. Yes. I mean, it's telling that in the comments, a lot of a good majority of the comments on Side Podcast have been, well, none of them really deserved it, but I suppose Bettel.
Well done, Bettel.
Yeah, exactly. None of them deserved it. What kind of world championship have we got when the top five drivers don't deserve to take the title?
Back to Renault only slightly. They did sort of ruin this race as well because they held everyone up. People were stuck behind Kubica. People were stuck behind Petrov. Did you see Alonso at the end?
That was rude.
Gesticulating
unnecessary
to Petrov as if it was Petrov's fault that the track is so rubbish he couldn't overtake.
Blame the track. Blame your team for messing up your strategy. Don't blame the driver you couldn't overtake.
I mean, afterwards, I think Lee McKenzie asked him about it on one of the BBC interviews, and he was a bit more, yeah, well, you know, it's just the way it goes. But so it was obviously a heat of the moment thing. But honestly, how childish.
Big, sulky Alonso.
Again, throwing his toys out the pram again.
Non-deserving of the world championship. He deserved to lose it.
Hello, Side Podcast. This is Stephen Roy. It's a shame this year's championship ended up with such a dull race. I thought it was going to be really exciting. The first corner, Lewis was only a couple of feet short of taking the lead. And had he taken the lead there, then we did a very different race. I thought it was very brave of Vettel to actually sort of chop across and take the corner. A lot of guys challenging for a championship, but just to let him go and try and sort things out later. So well done to him for actually having the guts to go make a move like that. It really was a shame that, you know, you don't expect a great race at Abu Dhabi, but really after the pit stops by Alonso and Hamilton, the race was in stalemate. So instead of having the title and the race battled out on track, it was really all down to who could maybe get past the Renault. The other sort of incident of note in the race, I was really worried for Michael Schumacher after his accident. The first look I had at it, I thought it was just a contact with his head, either by the wheel or by the nose of Lewis's car. Really got to find a way to get away from cars where drivers' heads are exposed. In the 1980s, they went through all sorts of moves in F1 and sports cars to get drivers' feet out of danger. Because at that stage, with weight distribution, what designers had done is they'd moved the drivers gradually further and further forward. And it actually got to the point where the driver's feet were in front of the front axle line and considerably in front of it in a lot of cases. To me, it's crazy to go with all that effort to protect feet and then leave the head sticking up where it can get hit. One day it'll get sorted, but hopefully it'll be done before someone actually loses their head. Other than that, thanks to Christine and Mr. C at Side Podcast for all the hard work. They've made this season much better.
You know who I blame for this race being rubbish?
Rene?
Michael Schumacher.
Oh,
it was his
the safety
spin.
Car?
Well, his spin, which I think was unaided. I don't think Nico actually touched the guy.
It looked like they collided, and then the replay showed that they really didn't. But Brandel was saying that it doesn't take much, even a gust of wind, to spin the cars around when they're that finely tuned. I think Schumacher just spun it by himself.
He spins the car by himself. He gets hit by the unfortunate Liuzzi, who seems to manage to crash into everybody and anybody.
If there's someone stationary, Liuzzi's going to find him out.
Absolutely. And always within the first three or four corners of the lap. But it was Michael Schumacher's spin that brought out the safety car that saw a number of drivers make their pit stops early, and that messed up the remainder of the race. It really killed it there and then. So really, Michael Schumacher's at fault. That's what I conclude.
Oh, well, there's a surprise. But also, I mean, if that makes you happy, it should also make you happy that Rosberg finished the championship with almost double Schumacher's points.
Well, I didn't predict that at the beginning of the season. Another driver who might be worthy of the world championship in the midfield, but without the car to do it.
The only other thing I really think is worth a mention is the new teams battle, because we had the big decider over who was going to wear the air stewardess outfit.
And Richard Branson is the lucky winner.
Or loser depending.
It's got to be a loser, but the PR he will get from the event will probably make him a winner.
Yes, well, Beaks the Twit, which is a strange name on Twitter.
Team Heike on Twitter.
Yes, he said, Branson is going to do it on a flight from the UK to Kuala Lumpur. Tickets will be on eBay for charity. Branson is a top man and a true gent.
I love that competition.
Yeah.
Really, it set the ball in motion at the beginning of the season when we were a bit wary about what the new teams would bring to Formula One. That was one of my favourite early events of this year. I'm glad that they remembered. I'm glad that both guys stuck to the deal?
Well, we thought perhaps they were going to just brush it under the carpet and say, because they all had 0 points, that no one really won.
Yes.
And, no, I don't have to do that really. But it's good that, I think it's good that it's Branson, because he really would be up for that. He's a bit of a self-promotional
chap. If it comes down to it, I'd rather see Branson in a dress than Fernandez. Do you know what I mean?
Let's not think about that. Let's not dwell on that.
Don't go there. The other thing you've got to mention is that HRT managed to finish ahead of Virgin. So Virgin were last of the new of all teams and of the new teams this year. The bottom three ended up on zero points, but HRT had, I think, their higher place finishes.
Senna and Chandok got their highest place finishes. So I think that says a lot about all that driver switching, and it was the two original drivers
they
that
had
did
it
the job.
Right in the first place. Yeah. They just didn't have the money to back it up. And still Virgin Racing couldn't best that.
Do we think that is because they had bad drivers, they didn't have enough updates, or is it to do with the whole relying on CFD thing?
I think the problem was they got the fuel tank wrong in the first place, and they had the fuel tank size was too small to finish the race, and that was what killed them, because it took away all of their development time. They probably never caught up throughout the rest of the year, despite trying very hard. They never got to where they should have got to, and they just suffered because of that, because HRT, who started with a god-awful car and finished with a god-awful car, still managed to finish in front of them.
Yeah, it's interesting because in most races, it's an HRT at the back.
Mm.
But because...
when it counted.
Yeah, when it counted.
The race, I suspect, that really hurt them was the one that Degrassi binned it on the installation lap. I forget where that was, but it was it was a high race of attrition, and had Degrassi finished, he may have
that
done
would
enough.
Be career.
And that will be his career.
He's not coming back, is he?
Hey guys, it's only me. It's been a good year, isn't it? We've got a new Formula One world champion. The guy who's actually won the last race to win it, which is always a good thing. And we've got a sore loser and somebody who couldn't step up to the plate. We also had four drivers in with the championship title. So, all in all, a pretty good year. And there's only, 4.5 months to the first proper race? We don't count Bahrain. Who does? Even
Bart. Bye. Feedback. You should see their podcast. They don't just do audio, they do video too. And they just do a fantastic job. And every time I listen to them, it's just like, you know what, I can't believe this is being done by just a couple of people. You know, this is almost something that is done by something like CNN or somebody, you know. And these guys really deserve all the credit for really, you know, getting a lot of people involved in Formula One who normally wouldn't be able to, especially here in the United States, since coverage for Formula One is so scarce as it is. The only time we ever get to see anything for Formula One is on Speed Channel, and that's shared with Monster Trucks, you know. And I like Monster Trucks, don't get me wrong, but I love Formula One. It is the pinnacle of motor racing, even better than IndyCar. I can't name an IndyCar driver who wouldn't jump at the chance to drive a Formula One car.
Apologies for the quality of that little clip, although I do love that it has Hotel California in the background.
Which that is side podcast
pretty much sums
song.
Us up, yeah. Indie Racing Nut, that is his handle on Twitter.
Lovely compliment.
Yes.
Side podcast and Monster Trucks. What more can you ask for?
Yeah. He was doing some kind of crazy 72-hour jobathon hunt thing where he was basically on Twitter and live streaming a lot. I'm trying to get a job, I think. I don't know whether it worked or not, but he did survive the whole 72 hours. And then I think he must have got some well-needed sleep. Now, as someone who has done 12 hours of live streaming in SidePod Radio.
Never again. Oh no, we are doing that again.
Yeah. I don't know. 72 hours just seems like an enormous amount of time.
Well done to him. I hope it works out for him. And thank you for the very kind shout out.
The other bit of feedback we have to mention is, you've already heard it. The poem at the beginning
what
of the show.
Great opener.
That I'm sure you've guessed, but it was from Lukey, who posted that poem on his blog, I'm guessing the night before Abu Dhabi.
That was great.
And it was brilliant, based on the night before Christmas.
That may well be the best opener to F1 Debrief we've ever had.
Yeah, I am happy to encourage more poetry, please. I'm thinking on an upcoming Thursday Thoughts or Friday Fun, we need to solicit some poetry.
What, via voicemail?
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to that.
So that is it. The season is over. I did enjoy a tweet from Red Bull F1 spy earlier that said, we're going to go and enjoy a really nice long rest until testing begins on Tuesday.
Hmm. Formula One never takes a break, but we're going to, aren't we? Promise me we're going to.
Yes. Well, last year we made quite a big thing of the young driver test. Where was it? In Jerez, I think. And we had a post for every day of the test, and we had all these introductions to who the young drivers were, who are they anyway, posts.
Now, loved all of that. You doing the same?
I would do, except for the fact that I only have Monday, and on Monday night I'm going to be editing this very show.
And that's it. We're out of time.
I do not have time. So there will be no who are you anyway posts.
Just Google them.
I must tell you that, you know, my rankings.
I am familiar with your work.
The very definitive and best rankings in the world.
Okay. That you've ever written.
That I've ever written, yes. There's only a couple of weeks left now. One post tomorrow.
I hadn't even considered that. It's going to come to an end.
Yeah, one post tomorrow or Monday, depending when you listen to this. And then one more week after that, and that's it. We're going to crown our own champion.
Goodness me, I hadn't realised it was getting so close. Who's in the lead at the moment?
Well, I can tell you right now, it's not going to be Vettel.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yeah, Glock, Kovalainen and Chandok are all near the top, so it could be quite close.
It depends on what they get up to this next week.
It really does.
That's all they've got. They've got 7 days from the time this show goes out to make their mark on Christine's rankings.
Yeah, so everyone needs to find things that their favourite driver has done and let me know so that I can judge them. It's what I do best. Finally, there's one more thing we need you to do. Gavin asked this earlier, whether we were collecting voicemails to make a montage of the season. Now, that seems like a really good idea. I'm sure we've done it before. So if you want to get involved, we'll do a season review montage show. You need to leave us your voicemails or send me your MP3s with your thoughts on the season we've just witnessed, whether it was good, whether it was bad, how your favourite driver did, what were your highlights, what were your lowlights.
And they can be any length you like. So they can be short or they can be long. They can be detailed. They can be funny. But anything you're interested in.
Don't be offended when I chop them up and make them fit.
Absolutely. I do like these, and thank you to Gavin for reminding us. I'm sure it would have slipped my mind if he hadn't. But the last year, I think it summed up the season really well because everybody has different views on it. Everybody sees it differently. Everybody has their favourite drivers. So get involved, contribute your voicemails and tell us what you thought of the season gone by.
Yeah, you just have to call 012128-TRACK. That's 012128-87225. Or you can send your MP3s to christine@sidepodcast.com.
That was the season that was.
Yeah, it happened and we were there for some of it.
And there for the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's my podcast.
Sometimes there, sometimes not. I think that's how it's going to continue in the off season as well.
No agenda whatsoever for the upcoming off season. No plans, nothing concrete. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how the community dictates.
We're just going to roll with it.